Exodus chapter 37. Bezalel made the ark from acacia wood. Now, acacia wood is more like a kind of a bush. It's not like a big solid tree that grows upright. It's sort of more like a bush. And the sort of wood that you'd get out of an acacia bush is not very strong. It breaks very easily. And it's really difficult to work with. And yet, this was the wood that there was in the wilderness. So, in a sense, that was all they had as wood to use. And so God tells them to use this to make the ark. Now, the ark is the most holy part of God's presence. And yet, it's made out of such ordinary material. And, of course, the acacia wood is a bit like us. We're very weak, we break easily, and we're very common. There's lots of us around, and we're really hard to work with. So it really looks forward to us. And the ark was to be really quite small, about 1 meter long, just over a meter long, about 70 centimeters wide, and about 70 centimeters high. So it really was not that big. And so it shows the humility of God, that he doesn't need big, grandiose kind of things in which to work. He covered it with pure gold inside and outside and put a gold crown all around it, because the ark really represented Jesus. He made 4 rings of gold for it, through which it could be carried, and they were attached to its 4 feet, 2 rings on each side, and the carrying poles were also made from acacia wood covered with gold. And then there was a mercy seat made upon the ark. Now, this was like the lid, really, of the ark, or the atonement cover. And this was the same size. It was a lid that went on top of the ark. And he made 2 cherubim of beaten gold, 1 for each end of the mercy seat, or the lid. They were of 1 piece with the lid. The cherubim looked towards each other over the lid, and their outspread wings covered it. So every year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the most holy place, and he would put the blood of the atonement on this mercy seat, or this lid, or atonement cover. It's called different things. And over it, over that blood, there was like the cherubim looking down, and the glory of God lived there, dwelt there in between the wings of the cherubim. And that blood, of course, represented the blood of Jesus. And this was the very glory and presence of God over the mercy seat, over the blood of Christ. And we're told that the angels desire to look into the things of the blood of Christ. And when Peter writes that, I think he's thinking about these cherubim looking down at the blood of Christ, or what represented the blood of Christ. He made the table out of acacia wood. This was about 90 centimeters long, that's nearly a meter, about 45 centimeters wide, about half a meter, 66 centimeters high. It was covered with pure gold, and there was a gold crown around it. Now, this crown around everything just showed that all these things looked forward to a person, to the true king, to Jesus, who didn't, of course, exist at that time. And there was a rim around it, about 7 centimeters wide all around it, and a gold border around that rim. And again, there were these carrying rings of gold for it. And through them, the poles were put to carry it, because God was always on the move. Now, when David wanted to build him a temple, and Solomon did so, God didn't want it because he said that he had always walked amongst Israel, that he had always been on the move, and that he actually liked living in a tent. That's why all the parts of the tabernacle had these rings and poles to go with them. And we also need to be on the move all the time, and not to get caught up in mere religion, doing rituals, just doing the same old thing. He made the candlestick of pure gold. He made its base and its stem of beating gold. It had flowers that were decorative, that had buds and petals. There were 6 branches on each side, 3 on each side. So altogether, there were 7 branches. There was the central stem, and then 3 branches on each side. It made 7 altogether. Now, he used 35 kilograms of pure gold to make the candlestick. That's huge. When you fly in an aeroplane, the maximum amount of baggage you're allowed to take is normally just around 20 kilograms. So this was like 2 massive, really heavy suitcases. So this candlestick must have been fairly big and pretty chunky. So what it means then is that this was very, very valuable. Now, in Revelation 1, verse 20, we're told that the candlesticks are like the churches, and Jesus is present. And just as they would have lamps burning, so we also have got to be always burning for him, burning with the Spirit. So we are very valuable, though we might be a bit chunky like the candlestick was, but we're very, very valuable to God. And when the Romans sacked Jerusalem in AD 70, one of the things they really valued was a candlestick. You look on the Arch of Titus, you can see the Roman soldiers glorying that they've got the candlestick, and it looks pretty big. And indeed it must have been, though this wasn't quite the same. It wasn't quite the same candlestick. He made an altar, again, from acacia wood, this common wood for burning incense. This is inside the holy place. It was square, about 0.5 meter long, about 0.5 meter wide, and it was nearly 1 meter high. And it had horns at the 4 corners of it. He covered all of it with pure gold and put a gold crown around it. Now, David says, "Let my prayer come before you like incense." And in Revelation, we read that the incense ascended with the prayers of the saints. So then this represents prayer to God. And again, it is also valuable. And again, they made poles of acacia wood covered with gold and rings on the altar to carry it. So all the time, God was moving on. All the time. And these things all represent things of Jesus, and they also represent how valuable we are to God.